During the enemy's last hours of control in northern Holland, a spirit of wild fiesta reigns in towns and villages freed by the Canadian drive. Behind are the grim years of famine and oppression. The bands play and the people welcome the dawn of a free new day.
That's from a Canadian Army newsreel in the spring of 1945, and it shows images of jubilant Dutch civilians greeting Canadian soldiers as the Allies move closer to victory. Canada played a key role in an eight-month-long campaign to liberate the Netherlands from almost 5 years of German occupation, a fight that cost our country more than 7,600 men. In September, a group of Canadians traveled to the Netherlands to take part in an event called Our Father's Footsteps. The travelers were all descendants of troops who were part of that liberation effort 77 years ago. The trip included walking 60 kilometers along the routes of the Canadian liberators. Wynne Fournier's father was a war veteran who served in Holland in 1945, and she was able to take the trip to the Netherlands to pay tribute to remember the valiant efforts of soldiers like her father. And she's now back home here in Ottawa to tell us about this unique pilgrimage. I met up with her at the National War Memorial on a rainy morning to hear about the trip, but we started by hearing about her father, Bill Cochy, who was nicknamed Miracle Man.
The very first thing that started the Miracle Man was he fell off of a 30-foot grain elevator before the war, and he survived. He broke his back. Then there was the war, of course, being injured in the war. And then after the war, in 1970, he was in a horrific car accident where he was hit head-on by a drunk driver on a highway out in rural Manitoba, so very high speeds. And it killed my mom and my sister. And he was in very critical condition in the hospital. And the doctors actually told us to prepare. He's not going to make it. He was in a coma for almost 3 months. And when he came to, he was still in traction because his legs, the lower half of his body was crushed. And they put it all back together and had him in traction. And they told him, like, you're never going to walk again. And he said, oh, you think so? And he did. He didn't walk normally, but he walked. Until he was much, much older, he was walking without canes or aids of any sort.
So he was a fighter.
He was a fighter, totally.
Growing up, what did you know about your dad's time as a soldier in the war?
Didn't know a whole lot. He didn't speak a lot about it. With the knowledge I have today as a social worker, and I do mental health therapy, I can say with almost certainty he had PTSD, from not only from the war, but probably from his childhood as well, which was pretty tumultuous. So that explained a lot of things. He talked about it a little bit more as he got older, but still not anything big. I know a few stories. I think it was around his 90th birthday. He said, I want to do an interview and I want to tell my story. And then when we went to get started, he kind of shut right down. And so I managed to get a little bit out of him, but not a lot, because he was wounded there. So
what information were you able to get?
Well, I was able to get that he was wounded by friendly fire, mortars that were not quite aimed correctly.
Now, I understand he went back to the Netherlands in 2005 for the 60th anniversary of VE Day.
He did. That was an amazing trip for him. He had always talked about going back, and we were a fairly poor family, so there was never money for that kind of travel. And it ended up that it came out in the Legion magazine that all the veterans who, you know, were still alive from that era were invited to go. And he said it was absolutely amazing. They were billeted by a family, and, you know, they were treated like gold. At one point, he was actually riding in a Jeep, and they said that they felt like, you know, celebrities or royalty, and they were really treated like that, you know.
Tell me about that decision to want to go.
I don't remember if it was an ad on Facebook or if it was just a little article in a paper or something about this trip in our father's footsteps, and I'm like, and it was to go to the Netherlands, and I'm like, what is that? And I clicked on it and I read the article and I was like, oh my goodness. And I called my husband over and I said, we have to go. It's like this coming spring, we have to go. And we said, yes, absolutely. And we chose to go on the 13-day trip. We were all set to go, and then COVID. And so it was like, oh, well, that really bites. So I was all excited. I talked to Dad about it, and he was like, oh, that's going to be awesome. And you know, I was looking forward to going there and then coming back and seeing Dad and talking about it and just having those conversations with him of what it was like and how, yeah.
But you were eventually able to go this September. What was the experience like?
I still don't have appropriate words to describe the experience of being there. Sorry. especially because my dad died last November. It was really... I don't have the words. I really don't have the words. It was emotional. It was just so significant, just phenomenal. Those words just seem so useless for what it was really like to be there. And at one point, we were actually walking through farmers' fields and, you know, around the edges of them, because that's actually where the troops went. And there were monuments in like... just at the side of a field or at the top of a dike or everywhere, like not just in the towns, not just in the cities, but everywhere anybody where any of the soldiers that were part of the liberation died. Of course, we focused on the Canadian ones. There were other countries there, but we would stop at these and they'd have the names listed and people still come and put flowers. We'd get there and there would be fresh flowers on these monuments or flowers that had been there for a couple of days, you know, but you could tell that they were continually remembering. And that was something that I really picked up, is that they don't just remember because there's a day to remember. They consider it their duty to remember how they were liberated by all of these soldiers. And we met people that were actually living when they were being liberated and the stories they told us. And some of them were our guides on the bus as we went through the towns and describing this, that, and the other thing. And one particular one, there was an 80-year-old gentleman who was talking to us. And he talked about, as we went down a street, he said, and that's the house where I used to live. And that little window on the side is the window to the cellar where my mom and I lived for 3 weeks, and he was 7 at the time. So it was just so meaningful. I don't have real words to describe it. It was just amazing.
I mean, certainly I can appreciate it from the way you're describing it about the impact it had. But of course I'm struck by the fact that you had this trip planned while your father was alive. And then COVID, and then your father passes away. You're still able to make the trip, but after he's died.
It really is heartbreaking for me, because I really wanted to be able to talk to my dad about his experiences after I was there. And, you know, I could talk about seeing the Scheldt and seeing the Isle River and, you know, the different battles that we followed the troops along with. And while I'm not 100% certain that he was actually in any of those places I went, it still would have been very similar to what he had experienced. And that might have gotten me a little bit more information about what it was like for him in the war, because I would have been there. I could have connected with him on a different level. And it was just, you know, very emotional for me, especially leading up to the trip. And then while I was there, you know, we had so many amazing experiences. I didn't really have time to think about it. But then after coming home, it was again, you know, like... dang, you know, I don't get to talk to Dad about this. And it was heartbreaking, but it was still, I'm still so appreciative of the fact that I got to go. And I have to really put a shout out to Karen Hunter, who put so much of her time and energy and love into doing this as a tribute to her dad initially, and then included so many of us along the way. And there were 90 of us on the trip for this time. I think it was around 150 before COVID. And everybody had a story, right? Everybody had a story. Some parents or uncles or grandparents were passed, some weren't. We had pictures on our name tags with, you know, some of us did. I did. My dad's picture came with me wherever I went.
If you did have a chance to talk to your dad about the trip, what would you tell him?
Thank you. Thank you for being part of it. The people that I met that lived through it were so grateful, and I was treated like royalty, and well, all the tour was treated like royalty. and they kept saying thank you to us when it wasn't us, it was our ancestors. And I would just really say thank you, because the people I met were able to have lives because of people like my dad, you know, everybody that was there fighting to take this the land back from the Germans, and they succeeded.
Thank you, Miracle Man.
Yeah. Thank you, Miracle Man.
Thank you, Wynne.
Thank you.
Wynne Fournier lives in Orleans. Her father, Bill Cochy, was a Canadian soldier during the Second World War who served in the Netherlands. Wynne recently returned from a pilgrimage retracing the footsteps of Canadian soldiers who liberated Holland from the German occupation. The annual project is called In Our Father's Footsteps, and this year, roughly 100 Canadian descendants of World War II veterans who served in Holland made the trip.